The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Off the ball. GAA.
Be fair to Gerard Burns. He did ring me last week. We had a lovely conversation on the phone. It was sincere, honest, and he apologised. I accepted it, and we move on, concentrating the football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Pico Lopez helps Cape Verde earn their first World Cup point thanks to a nil-all draw with European champion Spain. Two-time champions France open their account today against Senegal. And Argentina get ready to defend their title against Algeria in the early hours of Wednesday morning. But first today, Shamrock Rovers captain Roberto Lopez played a key role for Cape Verde, who drew nil-all with Spain in Atlanta yesterday in Group H at the World Cup. It was the African side debut in the tournament, and they shocked Luis de la Fuente's side with a resolute performance. Cape Verde goalkeeper Vizinha was one of the standout players. Lamine Yamal was brought on as a second-half sub and Nico Williams was also introduced, but the 2010 world champions couldn't find a way past that solid defensive rearguard. 40-year-old Vizinha says it was an emotional result.
I cry because I grew up with my grandfathers, my grandparents, and unfortunately they are not here. They died a few years before, and they was all of, everything for me. They give everything for me, for my life.
He also explained why his mother couldn't be in attendance at the match.
My mom, she didn't manage to be here because of the money you have to pay for the visa. We didn't manage on time, and I would like she to be here, but I'm very happy also, and I'm very happy for all the Cape Verdean people.
Spanish football writer Dermot Corrigan joined Ger Gilroy and Keith Tracy on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast and spoke about what the reaction's been like in Spain.
Yeah, historic letdown on the front of AS, one of the sports papers. A huge shock is on the Marca cover this morning. So, yeah, they're, as you guys were saying there, it shouldn't be a huge problem for them to get through in the group, but it is a problem from the point of view of just the atmosphere around the camp, what people are thinking, because Spain have this, they have this history in World Cups of the last two tournaments they went out in very similar circumstances, that they had all the ball, had thousands of passes, dozens of shots, but weren't able to score against Russia in 2018 and Morocco 4 years ago. And there was a bit of a sense of deja vu yesterday during the game when they just kept passing the ball around, making chances, missing the chances. And yeah, so people are quite worried this morning.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Elsewhere in Group H last night, Marcelo Bielsa's Uruguay were held to a 1-1 draw by Saudi Arabia. The Saudis went in front just before the break thanks to a goal from Abdullah Al Amri. However, Max Araujo equalised 10 minutes from time to leave all four sides in the group on a single point each. Next up for the Saudis is a meeting with Spain on Sunday in Atlanta. Uruguay and Cape Verde meet in Miami a few hours after that. In Group G, Iran drew 2-2 with New Zealand in Los Angeles. It's the first time in World Cup history a host nation's been at war with a participating country. The Iranian national anthem was booed, but they still came from behind twice in that match to draw. Motherwell midfielder Elijah Just scored twice for the Kiwis. Iran captain Mehdi Taremi says it hasn't been easy with 11 staff members banned from entering the US.
Everything is like disaster, actually, for us. It's not the right thing for it, but we don't follow the excuse. We're just looking forward. We're having hope for the next two games.
After the match, the Iran manager Amir Galanoui hit out at FIFA and hinted at resentment towards the US government after being told they had to leave LA immediately. Taremi further described the treatment as a disaster and revealed that FIFA president Gianni Infantino had been in the dressing room offering to help the team. There's footage of Infantino published on X, which sees him telling the players, "You are stronger than everything," adding that the team were writing history and the whole world is watching them. It's also believed Infantino told the players he'd do what he can to ensure more of the Iranian delegation who didn't receive visas could travel to the US for the remaining group games. Iran were forced to leave the US hours after that draw, and next up for them is a game against Belgium on Sunday in LA. Elsewhere in Group G, Belgium came from behind to draw 1-1 with Egypt. Egypt went ahead in the first half with a superb goal from Emem Aşur. Romelu Lukaku was on the pitch just a matter of minutes in the second half. When Belgium equalised, he forced an own goal from Mohamed Hani. Egypt will play New Zealand in Vancouver in the early hours of Monday morning. Tonight, France and Senegal will meet in Group I. It's their first competitive match since the World Cup opener in 2002. Then France were the world champions, going up against the Senegal side in their first World Cup. And Senegal shocked them with a 1-0 win in Seoul, thanks to a goal from Papa Boupa Diop. Senegal won the Africa Cup of Nations back in January, but were then stripped of the title due to their players walking off in protest at a penalty decision against Morocco in the final. Sadio Mane, Nicholas Jackson and Illimani Ndiaye will all be expected to play key parts against a French side that has an embarrassment of riches in attack. Kylian Mbappe, Michael Olise, Ousmane Dembele, Desiré Doué, Bradley Barcola and Ryan Cherki are all part of Didier Deschamps' attack. That game gets underway at 8 o'clock in New Jersey. Elsewhere in Group I, Iraq make their first appearance at the tournament in 40 years. Graeme Arnold's side take on Norway in Boston. It'll be Erling Haaland's debut at a major tournament for Norway, and he'll follow in the footsteps of his dad Alf Inge, who played at the World Cup in the US in 1994, although he did miss the nil-all draw with Ireland in the third group game due to suspension. Kick-off in that game tonight is 11 o'clock. After that, holders Argentina take centre stage. The current world champions get their tournament underway in Kansas against Algeria in Group J. Argentina will look to become the third team to win back-to-back World Cups after Italy did it in 1934 and 38, and then Brazil did it in 1958 and 62. Lionel Messi could make history tonight and appear at a sixth World Cup, the first male player to ever do it. Cristiano Ronaldo could obviously follow in his footsteps later this week. Argentina are also the current Copa America holders. That game kicks off at 2 a.m. Irish time. The other sides in Group J meet in the very early hours of Wednesday morning. It's a 5 a.m. start for this one. It's Ralf Rangnick's Austria up against Jordan in San Francisco. Jordan are making their first ever appearance at the World Cup. They qualified in June 2025 thanks to a 3-0 win over Oman. Austria have found a resurgence since Ralf Rangnick took over back in April 2022. They qualified for the Euros in 2024 and have now qualified for their first World Cup since 1998. David Alaba, Marco Arnautovic, Kevin Danzo and Carney Chukwuemeka are all part of that squad. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, on the news round last night, Michael McCarthy was joined by Stephen Doyle and Arthur O'Dea. And with all the talk of the World Cup buzz, Mick told the lads about his weekend in Edinburgh, where he got to watch Scotland beat Haiti on Saturday night.
Decided to go away with friends to Edinburgh at the weekend because...
Ah, what a city.
Scotland, what a city, by the way, yeah. God, your calves and your hamstrings would be in shape after it, I'll tell you that much for nothing. My God, that is steps and hills. That's what that city is.
So were you there? Did you go watch Haiti or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say, given where we were, it was more watching Scotland than it was Haiti, but... Yeah. Yeah, we did. We went out. It was a 2 a.m. kickoff, as people know, on Saturday night, which was our second day there. But I have to say, being around a place where the World Cup is happening and in a country where it's not as a given as it would be, say, going to London or something this weekend, you know, or next weekend, was a really, really great experience and something I'm really happy I did. It's like, okay, grand, I wasn't like at the World Cup, but I actually feel like I've experienced the World Cup in a way that I won't in Ireland. Yeah. And I've done that here sometimes as well. I've gone to remember Break for the Border, which used to be near us here before it closed down, was like a place where all the Brazilians would go.
Yeah.
So in the 2014 World Cup, we used to go there for all the Brazil games and stuff like that. And that's a nice atmosphere. But actually being in the place, and look, it wasn't easy to get in somewhere. So we were in like a sports bar from like 9 o'clock. Having been out all day.
like turning up at 11 o'clock in the morning for a 4 p.m.
Do you want me to tell you what happened in the game again?
Yeah, well, don't ask me any tactical questions. But I will tell you about atmosphere questions. And it's like, it was Brazil was on in the hour before the game. Then they were playing, like, there was some live music that started off with kind of like get everybody going, kind of like rock music, rock and roll, and like 50s yeah. rock, everything, but ended up in kind of like the Proclaimers, Caledonia.
Can't go wrong.
To say that I was as Scottish as Walker Shortbread by the time that game kicked off. But when the crowd were left to their own devices, there was only two songs being sang. That was No Scotland, No Party. That's fine. Anyone can do that. But the other one,
Flower Scotland.
Super John McGinn. That was all anybody wanted to sing. It was nonstop. And that was long before he scored. And to be honest, at that stage, all I had left of me was I just wanted to hang around for Flower Scotland.
Yeah.
And people will have seen it on TV how amazing it was in Boston. But it was incredible live in that bar as well, I have to say. And again, I really just do feel like I've experienced the World Cup. And I'm actually quite grateful for it but mainly I'm just jealous.
And remember, you can listen back to that for free in your OTB Daily podcast feed. The sponsored hydration breaks continue to cause controversy. Football writer and broadcaster Henry Winter joined Mick on the football show last night and said you shouldn't mess with the flow of the game.
I think we all saw the American commentator on Fox for the USA game say the quiet part out loud after the first quarter on Friday night before going swiftly to an ad break because they didn't want to waste any time during that hydration break. It is something that, you know, we talked about it here a few minutes ago. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a water break. We've seen it in football before when it is needed. But to systematically bring it into the game is a massive change that I just can't believe FIFA have gotten away with, is that they've snuck this in as a nod to American TV company and we're stuck with four-quarter game all of a sudden.
I mean, your great country doesn't need any advice on how water at World Cups. You know, you go back to 94. I mean, I was in the north of America and it was hot enough then. And look, in certain games, certain conditions, then fair enough, bring it in. I mean, I'm no medical expert, but I would thought if the temperature is going to go above 25 degrees at any point during the game, then you agree in advance that it's going to be there. I think if it's a set thing. But like England are preparing in hot conditions, humid conditions. We've had tornadoes here in Kansas City. It was over in sort of Miami where they were training, and it was absolute, it was like, you know, training in a sauna. But they're going into an air-conditioned stadium to play Croatia on Wednesday evening in Wednesday early afternoon in Dallas. Mm. So do they really need a hydration point? And all these FIFA sort of rules that they've brought in and sort of parachuted into the game have all been about accelerating the game and cutting down on time wasting. And then we have 3 minutes thrown in of I don't know, I like Ted Lasso, but I don't want to know what car he drives and whether he's got Erling Haaland driving a taxi into a river somewhere, which, I mean, it looks quite a good ad, but I don't want it in the middle of a football match. It's anathema to Europe. I don't mind elements of the American show. I think some of it's quite fun, a bit of razzmatazz, and, you know, as long as we haven't got Diana Ross taking and missing penalties, then fair enough. I don't mind that. But just don't mess with what is a very, very simple and fluid game. It's not like American sports, which has natural breaks.
And that's also available to listen back to in full in your OTB football podcast feed. Remember to click follow in your podcast feed. And if you don't want to miss a single thing, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Three of the four League of Ireland clubs in European action next month will find out their opponents today. Champions Shamrock Rovers will be seeded in the first qualifying round of the Champions League. That draw takes place at 3 this afternoon. Rovers could face teams from Andorra, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Malta, San Marino or North Macedonia. At 4, Derry City will be in the draw for the first qualifying round of the Europa League. Dinamo Kyiv, Ferencváros and Karabag are potential opponents for Derry. And Bohemians have the draw for the Conference League qualifiers at 5. St. Joseph's of Gibraltar and Levadia Tallinn among the teams that Bowes could face. Shelburne will have to wait until tomorrow. They'll be in the draw for the second round of the Conference League qualifiers. Tunisia have appointed Hervé Renard as manager for their two remaining group games at the World Cup. Sabri Lamouchi was sacked after Sunday's 5-1 loss to Sweden in their opening group game. Renard was in charge of Saudi Arabia in 2022 when they beat the eventual champions Argentina in their opening group game. Leicester have confirmed former Southampton and Rangers boss Russell Martin is their new manager. He has agreed a 3-year deal with the now League One club. Martin's been out of work since he was sacked by Rangers last October. And Scotland captain Caroline Weir signed a 3-year contract with French champions Lyon after leaving Real Madrid. The 30-year-old midfielder spent 4 years in Spain. She scored 63 goals in 125 games. She was voted Real Player of the Year in 2023 and 25, as well as the Spanish Player of the Year 3 years ago. Lyon have won the Champions League a record 8 times, although they haven't won it since 2022, and they were beaten 4-0 by Barca in this year's final. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.